One of the big feelings of the last 18 months or so has been missing each other. I'll not ask if you've missed everybody. We have. We've just missed each other. Families have been separated by a pandemic, so meeting together hasn't been easy or possible. Grandparents miss their children, don't they? I'm sure the new grandparents this morning were just dying to run to the hospital and lift a little new baby. Children miss their parents, friends miss their friends. The church family is no different. For a long time, the only people in this room on the weekend were me and Ken and John. Do you remember that voice? Three people in the room recording the service, recording the CDs, doing several takes at a time. It all happened in here with the three of us. If we didn't know that we had a strong desire to see other people, to be with each other, then surely we know it now. It's entirely natural. Getting back together is the thing we're looking forward to the most. We want to be back in each other's homes, back in the restaurants and the cafes, back in church, enjoying the tea and the coffee afterwards, and more. There are so many things we would like to do that are based on our ability to be together. John knows that feeling too, that there's nothing like seeing each other in person. My fonts have done something funny here. Hopefully we're okay. There we go. He says this, "I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete." And that is born out of our human need to know that we are not alone. We need to be together and with one another and be together with God. What about being together? Well, we'll start here. Being together is a good thing. We've had time apart, and now we look forward to being together again. That's human. It's good for us. And in the context of 2 John, it's exactly the same. John could write and write and write to this local church in lots of detail, but he prefers to be with them, to talk in person, face to face. There it is again. "I have much to write to you, but I don't want to use paper and ink. I hope to visit with you and talk to you face to face." What we should maybe see there is that it's about more than just seeing each other. It's about talking. You see, the NIV does something funny here where it says face to face. John actually writes mouth to mouth. It's about talking. And if we read the whole letter, we see that it's about talking the truth to one another. You see, if John is joyful that some are walking in the truth of the gospel, then we see the same joy here in the in-person meeting and talking of Jesus. "I've lots to write to you. Don't want to use paper and ink, but instead I hope to visit with you, talk to you face to face, mouth to mouth, so that our joy may be complete." We might think of it as mouth to mouth. That's a life-saving gesture. I don't think they teach this anymore when you're doing chest compressions. I'm looking to you, Jillian. You'll keep me right here. Still do the kiss of life, yeah, mouth to mouth. It's a life-giving gesture. When someone finds it hard to breathe, we give them our breath, mouth to mouth. Now, that maybe might be a dramatic way of thinking about it. And yet John is nudging in that direction. Last week we heard about the warning of false teachers and not welcoming them. Now he says that he needs to come see the church in person, face to face, mouth to mouth. Changed it. And that will do them both good. This is the point. But it'll also keep them safe. Remember, John isn't just some random guy. He is the elder. He is one of the 12 apostles. He comes not just as a friend, but as someone with the authority, as well as the affection and the warmth that we see in the letter. His words do both. And we might do the same. Week by week, the church needs to meet face to face for this reason, that we are speaking gospel words to one another. We're singing the songs that point us to Jesus, and we're just looking out for each other. One of the great charges to the church of Jesus is in Ephesians 5. I don't have this for you, but it says this: be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. You can do some of that on the phone or in an email or a letter, but it really only clicks face to face. We need to note here John's preference of meeting face to face. He could write, but he won't. In other words, and I don't mean to be controversial, there's no such thing as virtual church. At best, it's a stopgap. It's really helpful. It's there if we need it, but it's not the same. The church needs to meet face to face, and that's what church means. The word church means gathering. If you're in your house in your slippers, and I'm in my house in my slippers, then we're not gathering. We're not meeting together. But we need to. We need to be together and together in the joy of the gospel. That might be classed as good advice, but John is doing something much more interesting here. Because it's not just being together, it's being together with God. This idea of the face-to-face, the talking together, the mouth-to-mouth, it's nothing but a reflection of what our relationship with God should be. Way back in the days of Moses, it was God who first used this language of face-to-face, and he defined it as one of the pillars of real friendship. In Exodus, we're told this: the Lord would speak to Moses face-to-face, as one speaks to a friend. In person is the way God works. He didn't just thunder from the clouds and the mountains, but spoke to Moses, who then spoke to the gathered people. Moses was the one chosen for that privilege, and God wasn't ashamed to point out the difference. In Numbers, we can read this: when there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly, not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. And in Deuteronomy, after Moses has died, since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. That's about clarity and truth and meeting God in person. John wants the same truth and clarity and in-person encounter for the church. He's written about love and truth, but one of the protections of that love and truth is meeting face to face and speaking mouth to mouth. And what was special for Moses would eventually become the norm for the Christian because of Jesus. Jesus is God with us. He spoke the words his Father gave him, and he does it in the flesh. In other words, Jesus came to meet with us face to face. So one of the joys of spending time with these things on your behalf as you see things you never saw before. I had never spotted this until this week. Look at this. This is how John starts his first letter. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked at with our hands and have, or with our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship with the Father and this with the Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. One of the great challenges the church faces at the moment is getting people to come back. Every church, almost in every country, is scratching its head over this one. There's a lot of concern about reconnecting with people. That's a good thing. We want to know how people are, where they stand with Jesus, how we might give them the right encouragements. But at the heart of the matter, folks, is Jesus. He is the joy that is made complete. Because when John makes his visit to the church, the one he's writing to, he'll be able to make sure they're loving one another, that they're walking in the truth, and that they're being careful of false teachers, liars, and enemies of the church and of Jesus. For you and for me, church should have something of that flavor. I don't know how you think of church in your mind. But this is what John's encouraging. You come for all kinds of reasons. We don't really mind. But Jesus says he must be the top of the list. Everything flows from him. It's his church, and we are his people. Part of the responsibility of meeting one another is that we make sure we're walking in the truth, and it takes that weekly face-to-face meeting to do that well. We want to meet with others, but the good news this morning is that God wants to meet with us. And I'm going to let John finish this morning, because that's all his farewell means. Put it all together. I hope to visit you and talk with you face-to-face so that our joy may be complete. And notice how he finishes. He finishes with the church. The children of your sister, who is chosen by God, send their greetings. That's always worthy of our prayers. Let's pray. Father, send back your people here to Ballygilbert. Father, send them all that we might sit under your word and live for your Son, that we might become a family that knows one another and the joys of walking together in the truth. Father, send everyone. Give us a problem. Give us the problems of seating and chairs and what to do with everybody. But give us the love and the gospel that we need to do it well. Make us your messengers, Father, to people in the weeks and months ahead, so that Jesus' name would be known and loved in our community. Father, that's beyond us, but not you. And that's why we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.